It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Bruce Atherley. Bruce is Executive Director for Cotton Council International, CCI, headquartered in Washington. Bruce, great to see you.
Thanks, Tony. Terrific to have you here.
Let's talk about, if you don't mind, let's talk about where we are. You're in the headquarters for Cotton Council International. And this is a very interesting and very unique location and building.
Yes, it is. So this building is a old townhouse, row house, probably built in the 1920s. And we are headquartered here along with the National Cotton Council's lobbying arm, headed by Reese Langley. So we share the building, and we have about 20 people here and four floors. And it's a terrific place to be located, not just because of, you know, all the great things Washington has to offer, but also because of the, you know, proximity to Congress.
Let's talk about what's going on right now. When we look at the cotton market, obviously we're seeing some prices we haven't seen in quite some time. And it appears maybe the strength of exports helping push the price higher.
Well, it is a great time for cotton right now. We're seeing increased demand around the world, and I think driven by a couple different factors. You know, first, the vast majority of the world's biggest economies are growing. I think 28 out of the 30 largest economies grew last year. So all that global growth is enabling more people to reach middle class status when they're going to buy more cotton clothing. Second, we're seeing a little bit of a pushback against polyester finally due to two things, I think. One is the microfiber issue around creating pollution in our rivers and our oceans. And second, because of the pollution from the plants in China. And China has now started to close some of those plants in China that were producing polyester and were emitting pollution. So, you know, capacity has come down some in China. So I think those two things are really contributing to the growth in world demand for cotton.
And when we talk old crop cotton, we just don't have a whole lot of old crop cotton sitting around. At least the better variety, the higher quality cotton, if you will. Does that mean we're starting to push some of that demand into 2018, possibly?
For sure. You know, so this year has been our second highest year on record for U.S. cotton exports. It's been a terrific year thanks to a great production year last year, producing 21 million bales here in the U.S. We are at the USDA today, as a matter of fact, just raised their export estimate for this marketing year to 16 million bales. And we know that domestic mill use will probably approach 3.5 million bales. So we're virtually sold out of cotton this year, which is a great position to be in.
Obviously, though, that means you have to have good trade relationships. And so when we talk trade, let's talk China for a moment. They were a huge buyer of U.S. cotton for years, and then things kind of dried up. Are they back in?
Well, China was a huge buyer for years when they were stockpiling cotton. Now, in the last 2 years, they have been selling off their reserve. They continue to sell it off. And they basically, we think, have one more year of reserves that they will sell. They've been selling about 9 million bales each year. So with that sale next year of their reserves, we expect China's cotton imports to grow substantially. You know, anywhere from right now, their WTO quota is about 4.6 million bales per year, approximately. And we think it's going to be higher next year. We think it'll get to over 6 million bales that they've announced. They'll allow more import quota to be given out. And then I think it could go as high as 10 to 12 million bales in subsequent years.
You also have some other really good markets over there. Vietnam has been, it routinely is a top buyer when we look at the recap on the weekly export sales and shipment numbers. Will that region continue to be big buyers?
Yeah, absolutely. Vietnam is benefiting from a lot of foreign direct investment. There are a lot of both Chinese companies, Korean companies, Taiwanese companies investing in factories in Vietnam. And so capacity continues to grow in that country, along with Indonesia. We're seeing excellent growth. And the biggest increase this year we've seen is from Pakistan. So in Pakistan, U.S. exports have more than tripled in 3 years. To over 1.4 million bales that we've sold to them this year so far. And I think that's because of a combination of they haven't had as robust a local crop. You know, there's been trouble with the India crop as well being down. And I think also we've made, you know, as U.S. cotton, a lot of inroads into Pakistan, you know, pushing our quality, our consistency. And I think it's all starting to pay off for us in that country.
Last for you, looking at opportunities, but challenges. There's obviously some challenges for the industry ahead, but there's also some bright lights, if you will. Let's hit challenges first, and then what opportunities do you see coming down the road?
Well, the first challenge is always weather. You know, we're experiencing a drought in West Texas right now, which is our largest cotton-producing region. So we're very concerned about the impact of that on the U.S. crop and on quality. Second, we're concerned about trade and, you know, the issue of retaliatory tariffs. U.S. runs a $20 billion surplus in ag exports right now. And obviously, we don't want any retaliation from China, Turkey, other important cotton importing countries. So we're very concerned about that. And then, you know, third, just the nature of competition and the global economy. We need a global economy to remain strong and growing because, again, as I said earlier, that lifts everybody up, for the future.
It's always good to see you, the work that Cotton Council International does. And I said the final question. I'll throw this one in as well, because when we talk about trade, the importance of trade relationships and having really feet on the ground, something that CCI does all around the world, right?
Yes, and it's a great point, Tony, and thank you. We work very, very hard, particularly in countries. I'll give you an example, in China. In China, we work closely and have a great relationship with the China Cotton Association, the China National Textile Association, and they really like importing U.S. cotton. They like it for its quality and its consistency. And so they work behind the scenes on our behalf to keep us in good graces with the Chinese government. And again, they've been great partners. We really respect what they do. They respect what we do. And we want to keep that relationship building as we grow for the future. Because again, China is going to be the number one market for U.S. cotton, I think, going forward.
I already said last question, so I'll just make a statement. FMD and MAP funding provided through the Farm Bill. We see that the House has made that a little more permanent and moved it over from the discretionary side. Looks like the Senate is doing just the same as well.
Exactly. So both the House and Senate Ag Committees have moved forward legislation to keep in place MAP and FMD, combining them into a new program called International Market Development, which basically keeps the same amount of money, which is terrific news for us as long as that Farm Bill passes both the House and Senate, because that's where the bulk of our funding goes, and that's what enables us to promote U.S. cotton so aggressively around the world.
Great to see you. Thanks for your work. Wish you the best.
Thank you, Tony.
Bruce Atherley is Executive Director for Cotton Council International, headquartered in Washington, D.C. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.